I don't know. I come to Alabama, and they make me sing tenor like that just before I preach. I don't know how I feel about all that, but yeah. The tallest one singing tenor. He's supposed to sing bass, I think. But anyway, I can't do that, so I'll just sing the tenor part. Luke chapter 12 tonight, please. Luke chapter number 12. It's good to see everybody tonight. Wasn't that great food this afternoon? Amen. What a blessing it is. And thank you again, Pastor Barlow and Miss Crystal, for your hospitality. And church family, thank you for your hospitality. And it's good to have my grandmother, my other grandmother here, Sister Ruth. And what an impact her and my grandfather have made on my life. And I'm certainly appreciative that she's here tonight, honored by that. My uncle, Uncle John, Pastor John. I'm thankful for him as well. Had a great influence. I don't even know if he knows how much influence he had on my life when I was a teenager. And he preached well, but to be honest with you, it was just a few conversations that he had with me when I was just a young man. And I'm certainly appreciative of that and his investment in me. And I'm excited to have Pastor Rebot here. That was excellent. Thank you, brother. And I believe he is a worthy missionary of taking on. Our church is also going to take him on as well, and that's our plan, and we're looking forward to our partnership together and what God's going to do. Luke chapter 12, please, tonight. Luke chapter number 12, and just continuing the theme of missions tonight and our personal responsibility in that. And I hope that you'll listen carefully tonight as we get into God's Word. Luke chapter number 12, and I'm sure if you've been around any time and heard about missions, you've probably heard preaching from this passage of Scripture. Be careful about turning off the preacher when you've heard a familiar passage, because it's usually the familiar passages where God speaks to us. They're familiar for a reason, you know, because they're preached on a lot. They're important, and looking forward to that. Does anybody remember how many countries are in the world right now to date? Anybody remember? Huh? 195, that is correct, 195 countries. Does anybody remember how many, I said it this morning really quickly, does anybody know how many countries are unreached with the gospel? 68, according to the interwebs and the Joshua Project, 68 countries unreached. Does anybody know what the largest city in the world is? Tokyo, Japan. Does anybody know the population? About 37 million. Tokyo, Japan is one that is unreached. I don't know. I know that you guys are from Red Level, or most of you from Red Level, and some of you from other parts of the country. I certainly am. I grew up in a small town called Seward, Alaska. And in that town, there's about 2,500 people. The town that I'm the pastor of right now in Kenai, Alaska, we have about 50,000 people in the surrounding areas, and our city, Kenai, is about 15, and Soldotna is about 15,000, and then a few other thousands around the surrounding area. About an hour's drive from our church door, we have about 50,000 people. I'll tell you what, when I was growing up, and I thought about Kenai and Soldotna, I said, you know what I never want to do? I never want to move to a place like that, because it's way too big. How many of you have ever thought that? I talked to some brethren this week that said, you know what, I've never been on an airplane. I get it. I get that feeling of thinking, man, I never want to go to a place that has 50,000 people in a city. I can't even imagine having a Walmart in my own town. The town I grew up in, we had a Safeway and a Subway and a few other restaurants. That was it. And a good church to go to, praise God. But here's what I'm saying, folks. I thought it was way too big. I moved to Kenai, and then, you know, once you move there and you get used to having a Walmart and you get used to having a Home Depot, all of a sudden, life becomes okay, all right? You can take the 50,000. I spent some time in the Silicon Valley in Santa Clara, California. About 1 million people there in San Jose, just an adjacent city right there that you can just run right into. Another 1 million people there, the Bay Area of California. And how many know how I felt when I went and visited the Bay Area? This is way too large. But folks, the truth is that a lot of times we get so focused and worried about our small little world that we forget about God's big world. And when you think that the city of Tokyo, Japan, is the same population as the entire state of California. Are you hearing me? The entire state of California, and it's unreached. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a big job to do when it comes to missions. Hey, listen, you want God to take care of your little world? Start worrying about his big world. My wife could tell you this is the truth. This is a map from my prayer closet. I have one at the church and the prayer study that I have at the church. And then this is also one. This one's actually from my house. And every morning I take this and I open up this either at my house or at the church. And I lay it over on my couch and I pick a country and I pray through these countries. And you say, well, what are you doing when you're praying through those countries? What are you asking God? I'm asking God to show me how to reach these places. I'm asking God to help me to reach those 68 countries who don't know Jesus. Folks, they're all over the world. Start studying bigger maps. God has given us the responsibility to get the gospel to the 8.1 billion people that are here. Ladies and gentlemen, in the next 25 years, they say, I don't know who they is, but they say that our population is going to grow to about around 11 billion people. You know what that means? Our generation, Pastor Barlow, has got a great job to do. And every year, it's growing and growing and growing and growing. And these are souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere. When we start studying bigger maps, all of a sudden, we realize the great need. And yes, your churches are doing a great job. And yes, my church is doing a pretty good job about reaching our city and seeing souls saved and buses run and all the above. And all that's wonderful and all that's good. But there's still billions without a gospel preacher. And I think that we ought to take that personally, church. I think every church represented in here tonight needs to make it their life's goal and mission to see every country with a gospel preacher, all 195 of them. Then when we do that, maybe we can start talking about how good of a job we're doing. Luke chapter number 12. Until then, let's keep silent. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 16. The Bible says this, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Father, we thank you for the good day that we had today. Lord, I'm so thankful to be here in this great state and Lord, with these great people. I'm thankful to be here with family. Lord, I'm thankful to be here with new friends. Lord, I'm thankful to be here with missionaries, Lord, that are going to get the gospel to the world, gospel to America and America, Samoa, and to Thailand. And yet, Lord, we can't help but see that the job that's needing to be done is great. And it's time God's people got radical about this thing of missions. And Lord, when the commission ceases to be great in the church, we'll be a church gone under. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, use my family, use my children, use my nieces and my nephews, Lord, for this work. Lord, use my funds, use my life to help reach this world. Lord, I pray that you would help with that, and we'll be thankful for all that you do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, the truth is that there is a principle that comes with serving God. Now, I do not believe that Christians are not going to go through hard times in their life, because we most certainly will. You know, a lot of people, they get into this thing of Christianity and they just kind of try out God. You say, well, what do you mean? A lot of times people will come to us and they'll come to the church and they want to get saved because they're in the middle of trouble. I had one man that came to services. He came in on a Wednesday night and he sat on the back row in our old auditorium, and I sat down by him and he was just crying. He said, "I've messed up my life and I just got my third DUI and they took away my license and now I'm looking at jail time. And, you know, I got saved." He was down here from Louisiana and he's up in Alaska. And he said, "You know, I just need to get back to God and I need to do what's right," and all these different things. And I said, "Okay, let's meet." I was actually headed out for church camp and I had my assistant pastor meet with him the next day. And Brother Tim began to come to church and he began to grow in the Lord. And he went through discipleship and got right with God, seemingly, and just really got involved. He was doing so well, he needed a job. And I said, "Okay, Brother Tim, you know, we need a cleaner at the church. Would you be willing to clean our buildings for us?" "Oh, preacher, I love to clean the buildings. That's such a wonderful thing. Would you please pray for me?" This was always a caveat. "Would you please pray for me in this thing the situation I got going on? And I don't know what kind of jail time I'm going to have to do, but, you know, at this point in his life, he's right with God and doing well." Got to the point where came time for the judgment, his sentencing on his third DUI, and he ended up with 30 days with a blow thing to start his truck. That was it. 30 days, and that was it. Just a slap on the wrist. As soon as he got that judgment, all of a sudden it became Sunday morning, and he said, "Well, preacher, I can't come to church this morning because I got to go fishing with my buddies." All of a sudden it became Wednesday nights were not important anymore, and Sunday nights were not important anymore, and Sunday mornings weren't important anymore, and all of a sudden church wasn't important anymore. You say, "Well, what happened?" It was somebody just trying out God, just trying to see if this was okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot treat God that way. Right. Daniel had his lion's den, did he not? Right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the fiery furnace, did they not? They weren't just trying out God. They said, "I believe that God is." Yeah. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. Listen, we can't just try out this thing of serving God. Right. Be very careful about saying, "Okay, preacher, I'm going to try it." No. Decide. Are you going to serve God or not? Right. The Bible says here that this man, God blessed his land. And when God blessed his land, he began to have plenty. He began to have a lot. And how many of you understand that in this great country that we live, we have a lot? We have plenty. Go over to the Pastor Reebok side of the world and see how those folks live. When we complain and say, you know, we don't have something to eat, you know, we go through cupboards that are full of food. When we say we don't have something to eat, you know what we're really saying? I don't have something that I want to eat. Right. Are you with me? Right. But there are places all over this world that have nothing. When they say they have nothing, they really have nothing. So many of the world, 40% of the world, they say makes less than $2.50 a day. None of us would work for $2.50 an hour. Is that right? "Oh, Pastor, we don't have that much." Yes, we do. We have enough that we're willing to buy a truck that we can't afford and pay 20% interest on it. Some give more in interest to their vehicles than they do to missions. We don't see the problem with this. And I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you where God helped me. I'm not interested in half-hearted missions work. This is going well. I heard one preacher said, if you smile, you can't get upset. Is that true? You're not upset. You're all smiling at me still. That's okay. Good. We're doing well. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We have to get serious about this thing of missions. God has blessed our land. God has blessed each and every one of us. And I know that He's blessed some more than others. I understand that. But let me tell you, one of the greatest givers in the Bible was not a lady that had a lot. As a matter of fact, it was a widow lady. Can I say, for my church, the church where I pastor, the greatest giver that I have in my church is a widow. All these men with their jobs and their companies, and the greatest giver I have is a retired widow. And you say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying we've been very blessed. The problem is that we got on our eyes on our little world. We got our eyes on how big we can build our 401k and how much money we can leave for our children that aren't right with God to fight over anyway. What we do is we see how many trucks that we need to have and how big of a house that we need to have. And listen, God is not against us having nice things. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I hope you drive a nice truck. I hope that your family is able to have a nice vehicle. And I hope that you have a nice home. But listen, how much is going to be enough for you? The truth is, we're just like this man in the scriptures. We have a barn that is full. We have a barn that is full. And you know what we do? We say, you know what, self, soul, what I ought to do is I ought to tear this barn down and build a bigger one. Why would we do that? Listen, let me just say this. God is not against you having some stockpile. The Proverbs teaches us, he that spendeth all is not wise. I'm not asking yourself, asking you tonight to say, okay, I'm going to live in a cardboard box, by the Walmart. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, how much is enough for you? How much is enough for me? Isn't it funny that when God blesses us, all we do is we raise our standard of living? But in God's economy, we ought to raise our standard of giving.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, we got a great job to do.
Amen.
How can we sit here in this great country? How can I sit here in this great country and receive so much while there are people starving not only for food, but also for the gospel on this part of the world?
Amen.
And I sit here and say, well, Pastor, are you being serious? I'm dead serious. I'm so serious that I put my life and my family and our finances on the line for the sake of the gospel. We say, soul, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down this barn and I'm going to build a bigger one. Isn't it the American dream to have a big, big house? For what? For what? We should probably be more interested in building God's house than our own. Listen, when we give to God, He gives us promises that He will bless us. Now let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. Tithing is a biblical principle. It's clear in Scripture before the law, after the law. It's a biblical principle. And practically, it's a Bible principle. And I can tell you from a fact in my own life that God has supplied my need. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And we ought to bring our tithe. The tenth part of anything is what a tithe is. And by the way, there's no cap on it. Listen, if God blesses you, you better give. Don't rob God. Don't rob him. And listen, I'm not trying to get the preacher's salary raised, although I think you ought to do that too. Amen. Don't sit there all henpecked. Say amen. Thank you, honey. I think we ought to do those things. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being obedient to God. Are you going to be obedient to God or not? Very simple. And the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I believe that is a biblical principle, and have seen it happen in my life. How many like the promise in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19 that says, my God shall supply all your needs? How many like that principle? How many have ever had a difficult time and you said that in your life? And you claim that principle? Did you realize that every every promise has a precept attached to it. You know what the precept attached to that verse is? Giving to missions. Read Philippians 4:19. I dare you. Go home and you'll see it. Paul talks about, hey, look, you gave to my necessity. And you know where that church was in Philippi? It was one of the churches of Macedonia. You know the churches of Macedonia who, you know, they had just great wealth and great riches and they didn't have any problems or any trials in their life. Oh, poverty wasn't a thing at those churches in Macedonia. Take what I just said. It was complete opposite. Deep poverty. They had distresses everywhere. They were poor, and yet they communicated the gospel and they communicated the necessities to the missionaries so that the gospel could get to places like Corinth. What a blessing! Listen, be careful about claiming promises that don't belong to you. I've seen God come through in my life. Am I okay? How long do I have tonight? All right, I'm going to preach till I'm done. I cut it short this morning, and I shouldn't have. I apologize. I robbed you, so I'm going to give you an extra blessing tonight. Philippians 4:19, I think about that giving to God. There was a time I moved to Kenai, and I started working at our Christian school that we have, that we used to have. And I was making $1,600 a month working at this Christian school. How many of you know that, I don't know, maybe that's enough here. Maybe that's enough if I lived in Bangkok, Thailand. But that ain't enough here. That ain't enough in Alaska when you have three children and a wife and all the rest and you got to rent a home. And you got to find some place to live. Our utilities in our house that I had to rent was $1,600 a month. Now you tell me how all that's going to work. But I tell you what, God bless us. We are able to sell our home. I didn't do anything to it. Bought it 2 years later, sold it, and made about $30,000 on our home. And God supplied our need through that time as we gave and we ministered and we labored there. God allowed us to have that home so that we could help supplement our finances so that we could make it. But it came time, and it was the end of our money. And I don't know if any of my family even knows this. I've told it at our church before, but it was Thanksgiving time. We were supposed to go to Papaw and Mamaw Roches. And this was in 2016. And it was Wednesday, or maybe it was Tuesday. And I told my wife, I said, we're supposed to go tomorrow to Mamaw and Papaw Roches' house. And babe, I literally don't have the gas money to drive there. I mean, I'm serving God, but I literally don't have money. It's not that I don't have money for groceries. It's not that I literally don't have any dollars to put in the car. And here I am trying to serve God and giving and going and doing all the things that I'm supposed to do, but I don't have any money. And it's not because I'm living frivolously or any of those things. I just don't have it. The pastor said, hey, they called me Mr. Sinareski, which, what a terrible name. Mr. How about brother? Anyway, Mr. Sinareski, would you come to the office, please? Go to the office. Pastor Ray Batwell hands me an envelope. I take the envelope back to the classroom, back to those ACE scoring desks where all the kids cheat. All you ACE kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You cheaters. I never was ACE. I just cheated in public school. Anyway. But I opened that letter. And in there it said, I'll tell you his name because I've said it publicly before, but it was a letter from Pastor Ryan Gray from Fairbanks. And what it said in it was, you know, sometimes a ministry costs you more than you think. And what had happened is just a month early he had preached our missions conference. And for whatever reason, God had laid it on his heart. We gave him a love offering from the church, and he turned around and sent it back from Fairbanks, and he sent it from me. And you say, well, that just happens all the time. Hey, folks, if you give me a love offering, I'm not sending it to you. I shouldn't say that unless God tells me to. Brother Blake, don't get any ideas now. But I thought, my soul, how did this happen? My God shall supply all your need.
Amen.
And that's what God did for me. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you too.
Amen.
And I'm thankful all these years later, God's still supplying my need.
Amen.
But the truth is, we many times build greater barns. We want to build our kingdom. We want to build our wealth. We want to build everything in our life and make it better. We want to raise our standard of living. But how much do you have to raise it and you'll say, that's enough? You remember the time in your life when you thought, I remember when I first got married 14 years ago. I had a job working for $10 an hour. And I remember Matt Bird, one of our men at the church there in Seward, he owned a marine diesel shop. And he said, I've been watching you work at the church and with the kids. I was 18 years old. He said, I've been watching you do all this stuff. I'd like you to come work for me. I'll pay you $12 an hour. And I thought, wow, I cannot believe this. Brother Zach, I'm going to make $12 an hour. I'm going to be rolling in the dough. And then I remember all of a sudden, I moved up and now I'm making $16 an hour. And I thought, wow, this is incredible. And then I remember I got a job driving truck and now I'm making $20 an hour. And I thought, wow, I cannot believe this. Hey, there's some of you that were in that same boat that now you're making $40 and $50 and $60 an hour in some cases. There's some, they were happy if they made $40,000 for the year, and then because God's blessed you, all of a sudden now you're making hundreds of thousands. And yet our giving has not increased. You know what it has? Our standard of living. And I'm not picking on you. I'm saying, are we going to be dedicated to this gospel thing or not? Are you going to build greater barns? The Bible's pretty clear that when we're blessed, it's very easy to take it easy. I'm thankful that my family's here, and both my grandparents, my grandmother and my grandfather and Miss Betty, first generation Christians. Saved out of wicked situations, and God saved them, and I thank God for that. But you know, it's as a third generation Christian, meaning that my grandparents are Christian, my father and mother are Christian, and now I'm a third generation Christian, we are very tempted to take it easy. I've never opened my parents' fridge and saw any kind of alcoholic beverage, ever. Not for cooking, not for nothing. I've never walked in on my dad smacking my mom around. I've never heard my dad say, you know what, boys, we're not going to church today. I've never heard that in my life. From a child, I was taken to church. From a child, I was taught the Holy Scriptures. From a child, I was taught how to sing. I was taught how to pray. I was taught a love for God's Word. I was taught all these things as a child. And you know what? It's very easy for us just to sit back and say, you know what, soul? We got it pretty good. I think I'll just sit back and take it easy. Shame on us. Shame on us. That we as second and third generation Christians, and this being the Bible Belt, and many of you second and third and maybe in fourth and fifth generation Christians, sit back and we take it easy. Building bigger barns when so much of the world doesn't know Jesus. Shame on us. Can I say that you might be able to live on the blessing, but the next generation won't? You hear me? Some of your grandyoungins ain't in church today. And I'm not being critical. I'm saying it's our fault. And I'm not here to beat you up over the past and what happened in the past, but I am here to tell you this. We can make a difference in our future. But if we don't get worried about God's big world, what makes you think He's going to care about your small one? He said, soul, I'm going to take down this bar and I'm going to build greater. Notice what God said in verse number 20. Are you with me still? We're almost done. You're listening well. But God said unto him, thou fool. You know what God says to those that want to just raise their standard of living? You're a fool. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Hey, listen, when you die, all that stuff you worked for and you put your life into and you thought this is what life is all about and look at me and look how much I've done and look at what I've got. When you die, it's not going to matter what else. Right, right. Nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to be standing at your funeral and say, oh, wow, look how much money he left everybody. The only people who care about money like that in your family are people who aren't worth giving it to anyway. We've had folks in our church who we've had to sit with them day after day after day because their family was too sorry to do it. And when we put them in the ground and we buried them, then their family comes like a bunch of vultures trying to take their stuff. You want to build greater barns? Not me. No. No, I don't want to build greater barns. I want to give. I want to set up for my wife and for my children, sure. A wise man does that. But listen, how much is enough? Oh, I wish God's people could get a hold of this. I wish God's people would say, you know what? We're going to raise our standard of giving. When it comes to missions, and we're going to talk more about it. You say, well, preacher, I wish you'd quit preaching on money. You know who gets uncomfortable about preaching about money? People who don't give. People who give are the amening crowd. I'm not being critical. I've been there too. Been there. But it's time that we make maybe take a step of faith that says, I'm going to start giving. I've got a lot. And look, stop comparing yourself to somebody else in the room. Many times we sit around and wait for the rich to give. They probably never will. I'm just being real. They're probably not. But you can give something. And I can give something. And we can increase our giving and get the gospel to the world. Hey, listen, here's the truth. I wish that missions had nothing to do with money. But God put money right in the middle of missions. Kids came here today from Red Level or from the surrounding areas on a bus. You know what it took to get that bus and that new paint job? Money. You know what it took to drive that bus? Insurances and tags and gasoline in that bus. You know what it took? Money. Your pastor drives to the hospital to do ministry and to witness to a lost person. You know what it takes to get there? Money. That's what it takes. You know what it takes to get this man to Thailand? It takes money. You know what it takes to buy buses so that he can go out and door knock and win souls to Christ and bus children to church and build an orphanage and build a school and all those things? You know what it takes? It takes money. And you say, well, where are we going to get the money, preacher? I'm glad you asked. God gave it to you and he gave it to me not to build bigger barns but to raise our standard of giving. He said, thou fool, seest thou that layest up treasure for thyself or himself and is not rich toward God. We are so worried about our earthly bank account when you ought to be more worried about your heavenly one. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Some of you, your account is negative. All you do is take, 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 take. You better start laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because when God takes your breath from you, and all of us, in 100 years from now, none of us in this room, if the Lord tarries, is coming, none of us are going to be here. And the only thing that's going to matter is that you know Jesus. And the only thing that you can take with you is what you give away. That's it. The only thing that's going to be waiting for me there is what I've given away. And I don't know about you, but I want to be aggressive in my giving. I want to be aggressive in my soul winning. I want to be aggressive in all of it and not just sit back and watch. Because while I can live off the blessings of this man and these ladies right here, while I can live off the blessing of my uncles, and while I can live off the blessing of my father, and I'm going to survive, and I'm going to make it, I'm going to be who I need to be, my children will not make it. And maybe they know the Lord, but I guarantee you their children won't. Can I say that the greatest enemy to receiving a greater blessing is building a greater barn? Mm-hmm. It's the greatest enemy. Right. Pastor, I want God to supply my. I want to see God supply for me. I want to have stories like Pastor Roach and Pastor John, Pastor Barlow, Pastor Jake. I want to have these stories. I want to have these stories of these godly women where God supplies. And I want to have a story like you. And I could tell you many more. I want to have those kind of stories. Well, then you better start giving. Make a decision to say, God, I don't know what you want me to give, but I'm sure not going to build a bigger barn. I want to get a greater blessing. Amen. And how do I get a greater blessing? By giving. Amen. And by the way, not just of your finances. Can I tell you that God didn't just send money? He didn't send a check. He sent his son. In America, money is the easiest thing to give away, and yet we are so stingy with it. We ought to be willing to give our talent. Listen, God did not just give you the abilities you have so that you could hoard them. What a waste. God did not just give you the time that you have so that you could waste it. God didn't give that to you. I thank God that I have men in my church who are retired, don't work anymore. And you know what they do for our church? They don't get paid. They don't teach a Sunday school class. They don't do any of that. You know what they do? They go out every Tuesday and Wednesday, and I go out with them. And they go out every Saturday, and they knock on doors in our city. Oh, it's such a joy to sit back and watch new converts who just 18 months ago are living a drunkard's life. Just 18 months ago, who are living in sin and rebellion against God and in wickedness and depravity and all the different things and immorality even. Just 18 months from now, with tears in their eyes, and say, I just want to tell you about Jesus. One man says, hey, do you know about God? He doesn't know what else to say, but do you know about God? Hey, I'm thankful that there's somebody who says, look, I've wasted my life, and what I'm going to do is I'm not going to build a greater barn, but I'm going to raise my standard of giving. How about this? Our freedom. Pastor Rebot mentioned that he's free to go out and door knock and do all those things, but a lot of your surrounding countries are not free. You know why India, which has 1 billion people, did you hear that? 1 billion people. 1 billion people. That's more. That's four times what America is. 1 billion. And yet they can't go out and door knock. And we sit here in America with great wealth, and we sit and we fight about what's the best way. We sit here and it's like, well, I don't know if door knocking really works. Two men got saved last week from door knocking. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I'm sick and tired of people coming to Alaska. I heard you can't door knock here. We do it. We sit around, we fight about things. Well, I don't know if we should give the faith promise. I don't know if we should give tithe. I really don't think it's biblical. Shame on us. Yeah. What are we doing? The world's going to hell and we're fighting about stupid stuff. Get busy serving God. Our freedom, we've been given great freedom. By the way, Pastor Roach said it this morning, and it's true. It's disappearing. How many of you have seen that? It's disappearing. Mark my words, unless we have great revival in this country, there will come a day when knocking on someone's door will not be tolerated. When sharing a gospel tract while we're out in our city will not be tolerated. If I don't see it in my generation, I guarantee you these children will. It's coming. But it's not yet. So what are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our freedom? We better be using it for the Lord.
Amen.
What about our children? And a lot of times we want to take our children and we want to hoard them real close to us. We want everybody to grow up and, you know, all six of my kids, I want them to live in houses right around me. Wouldn't that be a blessing? As long as they don't come over for dinner every night with their families. It'd be a great blessing. It's such a been such a joy to have all my siblings here together. We don't get to do this often. Charity and Cody in Mississippi. Pastor Barlow here in Red Level. And Pastor Jake in Maine. And me all the way over in sunny Alaska. We don't get to be together often. My parents and Stuart. We don't get to do all this very often. But I'd much rather my siblings be out sowing the seed in a different field than us be all together. Listen, as a born-again child of God, all of our family that I would love to spend my life being around, we're going to spend a million years together in glory. And when we're there, I'll never knock on another door. When we're there, I'll never open my soul winner's New Testament and share the gospel with somebody. When we're there, I'll never give another dollar to missions. And I'll never be obedient in my tithe ever again. When we're there, none of that will matter. Over there, all that matters is what I've done for God. And I don't know about you, but I want my children. I don't want to just build a kingdom where all my children hang out with me. No. Not when there's so many places on planet Earth that don't have the gospel. I want them to know Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want them to have such a relationship with Him. And they saw their daddy. And they saw His love for God. And they saw His love for souls. And they saw all these things. And they end up in Bangkok. Yeah. I want to see them end up in Myanmar. I want to see them end up in India. I want to see them end up in Nepal. I want to see them end up in Switzerland, or maybe America, Samoa, or missionaries to America. I want to see them all over the world sharing and preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Bigger barns or greater blessing? What's it going to be? I don't know about you, but I build a greater barn, I lose everything.
Yep.
Don't we understand? We are so duped by the devil. That we think, well, if I give it away, then I won't have anything. No, if you give it away, you get everything.
Yeah.
If you hoard it, you lose it.
Right.
When will God's people understand? When will God's people make a decision? When will we quit playing games with God? And get radical about our faith. Get radical about our Christianity. Get radical about the mission. Get radical about the gospel. I'm not building a bigger barn. No, sir. No. I'm not going to raise my standard of living. I'm going to raise my standard of giving. I don't need a new Tahoe. I don't need an $80,000 Suburban. And if you have one of those, I'm not picking on you. But I'm saying we're broken. You drive a new $80,000 Suburban, you know what you need next year? The new model. Am I telling it right? You get a brand new truck, you drive down the road, and what do you need? The truck that's coming the opposite way. We're broken. Would to God that we get right tonight and say, I'm not building a greater barn. I would rather have the greater blessing. Let's stand to our feet, please, as the pianist comes.